Well, welcome everyone, and this is the sermon I'm going to be preaching today at church. Have you lost your Easter joy yet? It's only been a week, but I'm always surprised how soon after Easter and how soon after Christmas people just seem to get on with life. But if we've had experienced the same Easter Sunday as Mary Magdalene experienced that we spoke about last week, I don't think that we would have forgotten about it or lost our joy a mere 7 days later. Easter is a totally life-transforming event. It was life-transforming for the first disciples of Jesus, and it can be life-transforming for you and me as well. If we allow Easter to bring us not just a superficial, light-hearted party happiness, but a deep-rooted joy in Jesus and who he is and who we are in him, the resurrection of Jesus truly is good news. It's good news, as the Bible says in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's good news because what Jesus did for us was an unmerited gift from God, and a sign that he wanted to reconcile the world to himself no matter the cost. And it's a sign from God that he wants to restore his relationship with us. He created you and me in his image. He created us for a relationship with him, to learn from him, to begin to emulate his character in our lives. He was doing that right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, when he walked with Adam and Eve and they learned from him, as he gifted them with a beautiful, perfect garden. As human beings, we have a higher purpose. The Bible teaches that this higher purpose is about being made in the image of God and maintaining a connection with the one who created us. Our lives are meant to bring glory to God. The reason we give glory to God is because God is good. God is holy. God created everything. An expression of his love, his goodness, and who he is. Creation is meant to express who God is. And we can see God in creation. We are part of creation. We are part of what God has made in order to express his goodness and his love. Imagine that you were a very good painter, perhaps you are, and you saw a beautiful scene in front of you and you wanted to dedicate a work to the beauty of that scene. So you painted a picture of it. It may be a beautiful landscape or the sun rising at dawn. Whatever it might be, your painting becomes an expression of something beautiful. The world is meant to be an expression of the beautiful character of God, and we are part of that world. And so our purpose in our lives is to express the beautiful character of God, and we as human beings have a unique ability to do that because the Bible tells us that we're made in his image. There is something about us which is like God, something particular about human beings, separate from all the other animals and creation that share this world, that makes us just that little bit more like God than everything else. Yet we also have this temptation within us to pull ourselves away from God, to let other influences seep in, which may not help us to express his beautiful character. We miss the mark. That's what sin literally means, to miss the mark. To transgress means to change path away from God's path. Through Jesus, God brings us back to himself. In the decades following the resurrection of Jesus, the good news about Jesus began to get changed in various ways. The Apostle Paul was strident about the fact that the gospel should not be changed. The good news about Jesus was something that he had received and passed on to others. And it shouldn't be changed because it's in that good news of what Jesus has done that eternal life can be found. Paul gives a reminder to his readers in the letter to the Corinthians about the gospel that they received, about Jesus and the gospel on which they have taken their stand. The gospel on which their church community was founded, the gospel by which they have found salvation and reconciliation with God. And they will continue in that reconciled relationship with God if they hold firmly to the good news that was originally preached to them by Paul. Otherwise, they will have believed in vain. So just 2 points for this morning. We're looking at the origin of the message and the content of the message, and then our response to it. Origin then. Within 1 Corinthians 15, particularly verses 3 to 8, is what is known to scholars as the oldest creed. By creed, we mean the beliefs of a Christian. And we have various creeds that the church has constructed over the centuries to emphasize and to express and corporately declare the beliefs that we have about God, about Jesus, about the church, and about the world. Within this chapter is the oldest creed about the beliefs of Christians. In verses 3 to 8, Paul describes the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the resurrection appearances of Jesus. He says that this message about Jesus was something that he himself received and then passed on to the Corinthians. Who did Paul receive this from? Well, it must have been those who had seen Jesus and who were eyewitnesses. When did Paul meet those people? He met them 3 years after his own conversion to Christianity. Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Then he started to preach the gospel, and then 3 years later, he went to talk to Peter and to James. James was Jesus' own brother, and Peter was one of Jesus' main and most significant disciples. He would have met with them around about the year 36 AD, when he would have received this message from them. It spoke about their experience of meeting Jesus and the experience of up to 500 other people, all at the same time, seeing the risen Jesus. Now, if this message had already been constructed by the year 36 AD, then this message may well date back pretty much to the resurrection itself. So that's the origin of the message, right from when Jesus was resurrected. And then there's the content. This creed shows what Christians have believed from the earliest of times, that Christ died. Why did he die? He died for our sins, just as Scripture said, just as the Old Testament prophecies had said. That's what the New Testament is talking about when it talks about Scripture, the Old Testament and the prophecies within it. He was buried. Why do you want to say that he was buried? You've already said that he was dead. Well, being buried adds weight to the fact that he was dead. There's absolutely no doubt that Jesus was dead. He didn't look like he was dead and then recover. He was dead. He was buried. He was gone. The creed then goes on to say that he was raised. When was he raised? On the third day, just as the scriptures had said. After he was raised, he appeared to Peter, to the 12 disciples, to 500 people at the same time, most of whom, Paul says, are still living, so he's effectively saying, well, go and ask them. So in this, we have the origin of the message. And we have the content of the message. The origin is that this early creed came most likely straight from the mouths of Peter and James, eyewitnesses, very close to Jesus. The content is that Christ died, was buried, raised from the dead, and appeared to many. Paul reveals in this passage that he doesn't believe himself to be deserving of the name apostle. Why is that? It's not because he didn't see Jesus before his ascension. It's because he used to persecute the church and ensure that Christians died because of their beliefs in Jesus. Yet, he is an apostle. Why is he an apostle? Because of God's grace. The huge amount of grace that Paul feels he's received from God is responsible for why his ministry was so fruitful. Jesus said himself, "The person forgiven the most will love the most." A sideline teaching from that, if you want to increase in love, then increase in confession. Because Paul believed in his heart that God had forgiven him for so many things. This is the good news. The good news that filled Paul's heart and caused him to say, I'm going to paint a beautiful picture of this good news. That beautiful picture is going to be called the church. It's going to be called my life, because that is the calling that Jesus Christ has given me. It is the calling that each one of us has. That if we know Jesus, that if we've gazed upon the beauty of the Lord, then we are also called to paint a beautiful picture of him in and through our lives. That beautiful picture is made up of the content of our lives, which glorifies God. Lives that point other people towards God. What will our response be then? I wonder how we might do that in the week ahead. Well, the best way that we can glorify God is by showing him to other people. Showing him to other people will involve acts of service. It will involve telling people, when asked, the reason for the hope that we have. It will mean admitting to people that we went to church on Easter Sunday because we believe in Jesus. It will mean being a good citizen who cares about the place where they live. A person who cares about other people, who helps others when they are in need, and who doesn't think too highly of themselves, but is humble. This is the attitude which Jesus himself had. It's the attitude that he's looking in up for us in and as his followers. It is why he appeared to the humble Mary Magdalene, who'd been forgiven much, and not to the proud King Herod, or the Roman Emperor, or Pontius Pilate, or the High Priest. He appeared to the one who would see him and wouldn't think, "Oh no, my position's in trouble." He appeared to the one who would run out of the garden praising the name of God. Why did Mary praise God? Because he has a beautiful name. His name is beautiful because he made this creation, and creation reflects the beauty and glory of who God is. God is the ultimate picture and painting of perfection, and we are here to bring light to him by living our lives for the one who saved us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good, that you sent Jesus in the world to be our Saviour. We thank you that we can see you in the beauty of creation, and we pray, Lord, that others will see your beauty in the kind of lives that we live as your followers. We ask, Lord, for your strength and help in doing that, because we know that we can't do it simply by our own strength, but we do so because we have grace in you, and you have sent your Spirit to dwell within our hearts. So, Lord, please help us, we pray, in this week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.